Blog Talk Radio.
Shanghai Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Some show notes if you are looking for wrestling in the next couple of days. Tonight, WCW at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis like usual. MCW in Joppa, Maryland for the first of two big nights there. BWW in Kelowna, BC. BTW in Newark, California. MIP in Lincoln, Illinois, 3XW in Des Moines, Iowa, PWAS in Melvindale, Michigan. Tomorrow night, SCW happening in Seattle, right here in our neck of the woods, FCW in Haleyville, Alabama, BZW in Gaffney, South Carolina, MFW in Sanford, Florida, USWA in Orlando, Florida, WXW in Mineola, Florida, AIWF in Lafayette, Georgia, the NWA in Pavo, Georgia, CSW in Chicago, Illinois, RCW in Mishawaka, Indiana, Bryce of Glory in Coldwater, Michigan, IZW in Lawton, Oklahoma, and Wrestle Club in Emmett, Idaho. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome back, second week in a row to the show, someone I know very, very well, Austin James. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me back.
We talked last week, of course, about your brand new company, and you were in the process of locking down a new date for that. Have you had any progress on a new date and location for the show?
We've got a couple of things in the work. We haven't locked down a date yet. Looking at some venues, capacity-wise, what it will hold. But we're very close to locking that down. I'm working with somebody else right now to help me lock down a couple buildings. So we should have something here in the real near future. We're probably going to have to move it out at least a month. That way we can advertise it a little bit more for the location and things like that, but things are moving right along in the right direction. It's just unfortunate that those things happen when you're dealing with other people and you don't have your own building and things of that nature. You know, you're kind of at their you're at their mercy.
Very true. Now, as a promoter, when you're looking at venues, do you have any set criteria as far as what you want out of the venue, the aesthetics of it or the accommodations in it, anything to that nature?
Well, we definitely always look for safety first. When you got fans that are coming, you got fans that are coming in, and you got kids that are coming. So you always want to look at safety, make sure safety is number one. And then second, you want to accommodate the wrestlers for dressing area and things of that nature. That's another separate restrooms and things of that nature. So, I mean, you're trying to accommodate everybody, and you got to look at every avenue and everything to make sure that there is there's something for everybody.
Now, due to the change in venue and the date, obviously it's going to affect a little bit of the roster. What have you been doing to keep the wrestlers that were on board with you still on board, even though there's a new date, new location?
Well, one of the things that we did is we just told them, hey, look, we can give you the date. Go ahead. If they got to take other bookings, we understand, and then we can go from there. Some of them are actually really, working with us and saying, yeah, just let us know whenever. And then others, of course, they had to take other bookings, which I understand that. You know, they say, hey, if I'm available, I'm there. If I'm booked somewhere, then, of course, you know, I can't ask them to book off of a show to, you know, do one, you know.
Now, with the talent that you did assemble, you have a pretty unique mix of veteran talent and youth there. A lot of people that fans in the area will be familiar with. Are you still scouting out different talent for the debut show? Do you have people that you're looking at to fill spots when other people may not be able to make the first show as they originally thought?
Well, we're always looking. A matter of fact, you know, if anybody wants to send us a copy of their matches or send a brief video of their matches, they can send it. If they got it downloaded to their computer and they want to send it to my email address, they can do that. Excuse me a second. It's AJPROMOS 2017@yahoo.com. And they can send me a copy of their matches. I'll look at it and then we'll go from there.
I'm going to presume I don't have to send a copy. I think you're familiar with my work.
I'm pretty familiar with you.
Okay. If I'm in the area, you know, I would let you know. Now, of course, there are fans out there that, of course, we're looking forward to the event, and I'm sure there's still a buzz. What have you been doing to maintain the buzz around the show as far as the fan base is concerned?
Well, I just try to keep them updated as much as possible. Unfortunately, this week I have been under the weather and had the flu, so I've been under the weather, and kind of not been able to do anything really to keep everybody updated this week, other than talking to a few people and letting them know. You know, or talking to them about the building or anything of that nature. Once we get back and get up to 100% power, under power this weekend, I'll be going full force again and really working hard to get the building secured down, locked down, and going from there and letting the fans know too.
Now, of course, in your area, it was in the territory of Dick the Bruiser, and a lot of places have fan bases that date back to the territorial days. Up here in our neck of the woods, a lot of the Don Owens era guys are around, maybe not active in the ring at this point, but they're still attending shows, still helping out where they can. As someone that came in at the very, very tail end of the territory system, are you looking at any of the Dick the Bruiser era guys to work with you to perhaps not only help the talent you have, but maybe to bring in fans of the territorial system that are still looking for a semblance of today's product and what they enjoyed when the territories were strong?
I haven't really thought about it, to be honest with you. I have a couple people, or got at least one person that's wanting to work with me, and me and him work together on doing some things. And then, and his, he is a second generation wrestler. His dad was with Dick the Bruiser. He knows the Bruiser era and everything like that. So I'm not too I've got a guy that can do that. Territorial people, I don't know how the wrestling is about that area, but I know certain areas, there's some people you just don't go around or go around their promotion. But there's so many different organizations in the Annapolis area and stuff like that. And it's almost, it's not really more territorial. It's just who's got the better, I don't know if I want to say that. Who's got the show that's going on? Because people's going to go to the show. Are you booking the right talent? Do you got the right people on that card? Do you have the people that really makes that show go? So, I mean, it's just, you know, you got four, at least four in the Annapolis area. So that run Annapolis on a regular basis.
One of the things that draws a lot of fans to this day still is women's wrestling. It's become very popular in general, not just the national level, but independent women's wrestling has really taken off in the last few years. Are you looking at adding women's wrestling to the shows to bring in the fans of that genre of the sport?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, I'm working on, I've got a card that I'm going to be running in Martinsville, Indiana in October. And I've already booked the venue, done, got it all set up and everything like that. Looking at bringing in, been negotiating with ODB and a couple other people trying for women wrestling coming in. So I'm thinking, you know, I agree with you. I think women's wrestling is on the up and coming, and I think that is a sell. So we're looking at hopefully ODB will be able to come in, and maybe I've got a couple people that I'm looking at that I've got to call yet and talk to about coming in. If I get ODB, then we'll talk about who we're going to bring in to face her.
Well, at this point, QT standing by. I know he has questions as well. So, Thez, help you as I pass things back over to QT.
Hey,
well,
QT.
Thank you, Sunny Guy. Hello, Mr. James. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I hope you avoided all the heavy rains and minor flooding that has hit the Indiana area recently.
Well, we got a little bit of it, but I haven't been able to avoid it all.
Oh, yes, I heard that it was rather heavy, and they did have some flooding.
Yeah, we got flood warnings. The White River is pretty high, and some things have happened. They told them not to go canoeing or fishing or anything in the White River for a few days, so.
Wow. Now, have you yourself ever been, like, bass fishing in the White River?
No. That's more, that's probably more like catfishing and carp fishing and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Austin, I went back and looked at your YouTube video entitled Bobo Brazil Jr. versus Austin James with Pappy James, and I couldn't help but notice that the announcer said that Bobo was from Finn Harbor, Michigan. My question
Benton
is...
Benton Harbor.
What's that?
Benton Harbor.
I thought it was Finn Harbor.
No, it's Benton Harbor.
Oh, damn. Okay. Well, that really blew my next question because I was going to ask, have you ever been to the great oriental capital of wrestling, Tokyo, and have you ever had the shark fin soup there? Shark fin.
No, never have.
Okay, well, boy, that really blew my question. Okay, no problem. Well, Austin, I was very impressed with this video because after the match, they had rolling screen credits, just like in a movie, like Star Wars.
Right.
From these rolling credits, I learned that Dave Yearwood and Dallas James were the ringside commentators. My question
That's correct.
Is, do you know if these two commentators ever made it to Pro Wrestling Illustrated's 500 list?
I know Dallas James has made the Pro Wrestling 500 list several times. That is my brother. And so I do know that he has made the list numerous of times. Dave Yearwood, I don't know. I don't think he had ever made the list.
Okay. All right. Do you remember who the valet was in this match who wore a very nice blue sequined dress that sparkled when she moved?
Oh, my. No, I do know that it was a lady that Dallas was dating at the time, but other than that, no, I don't remember her name.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. James, have you ever considered holding a wrestling event near the haunted Civil War battlefield site of Gettysburg? And if so, would you have any wrestlers bail out of the card for fear of ghosts?
Well, I never thought of it, and I'm pretty sure wrestlers are not afraid of ghosts.
Oh, okay. Or poltergeist, as they would say in Germany. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, neither
well,
one.
Well, Mr. James, they say occasionally that you can hear a cannon shot before dawn and also the sounds of drum and fifes.
All right. I didn't know that.
And some evening,
today.
Yes, I you'd have. And some EMP experts have even used high-tech recording equipment to capture some whispered conversations, and they also captured the following conversation at what once was a field hospital. Someone said, "Daggummit, surgeon, I was hoping for something stronger than chloroform before you sawed off this bullet-ridden leg." They actually recorded that.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yes. Okay. Well, you might want to think about that if you ever consider holding a card there. That's my point.
There you go. I might consider that. I know not to hold it before dawn.
Yes. Well, Austin, I also saw on a cow ranching episode on TV where the rancher has fitted his cows with GPS collars so he can research the cow's movements over weeks so he can be more efficient on where to place the molasses and salt licks and water troughs so the cows will use less efforts in getting their food. He has also fitted them with G collars to track playful calves that might roam too far in play and stray from a watchful mother's eye. My question is, are GPS collars the next frontier to be realized in wrestling?
No. No. No, I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, I only bring this up.
It might be worth it for parents for kids, but not.
Oh. Okay, I only bring this up because, as you know, a lot of wrestlers do receive chair shots and some form of amnesia, and if you had fitted them with GPS collars before matches, they might, that amnesia would not be an issue on leading them to the ring, you know, if they wanted to do that to themselves.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense, but I'm, yeah. Excuse me.
Oh, all right. Well, Mr. James, I just got through reading a book called Ali versus Inoki, and that was the match that took place in like 1976, where Ollie was in the ring with a wrestler. And I'd like to read you about Chuck Wepner, if I could, a passage. Are you ready for this? And the question that follows.
Okay,
this is on page 173. And just remember that Wepner, about a couple months before, had gone 15 rounds with Ali. Okay. The tall, bruising liquor salesman made it to round 15 before Ali stopped him. Wepner wasn't long for boxing at that point anyhow, and he already considered himself best friends with the WWF people when Vince McMahon Sr. called with an offer in the spring of 76. I was asked if I would do this mixed martial arts thing with someone, Wepner recalled. I said, who was this? Who was the someone? He said, Andre the Giant. I said, why not? What the hell? I fought a bear twice. Andre the Giant stood and weighed, according to the most impressive estimates, 7'5" and 525 pounds at the time Wepner faced him. The bear, closer to 8 foot tall, had another 725 pounds on the famous Frenchman. I got the hell beat out of me, and I got mauled twice, but it was for charity, Wepner said. They told me I wasn't supposed to hit the bear in the nose. It was a trained bear, but nobody told me that. So I'm moving around, popping this bear in the nose, and he flipped out and threw me off the mat and jumped on me. Thank God I was able to get my hands out to wave so the trainer could whistle him off. He blows a whistle, and the bear stops. A year and a half later, to Wepner's detriment, the mauling boxer was again matched with a bear. The bear remembered me when I fought him in Hasbury Park and was hitting him in the nose, he said. And I told my manager when we were sitting in the ring that this bear remembers me and he don't like me. And Al's like, he's fought 100 guys since you. He's not going to remember you. Bears get your scent. They're like elephants, another animal with a strong memory. He remembered me and I remembered him. When the bear charged, Wepner sidestepped and tried to jump out of the ring, but he got tangled in the ropes and the bear slung the 225-pounder by the leg. I went out into the crowd on the table, knocked over all the dishes, Wepner said. There was 160 people in the place. My friend picked me up and said, come on, Chuck, get up, go get him. This bear is standing. Can you imagine it's 8 foot tall, 1,250 pounds? He's roaring. And then they said, go get him. And I said, go get him, my ass. And the referee's counting. He's up to four. And I said, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, goodbye. So he won on default. We raised almost $28,000 that night for Make-A-Wish Foundation. Tickets were $350 apiece, plus the drinks. And they had a thing before that. Anyway, we did a good job. So that $28,000 he earned was pretty good in 1976.
$28,000 was what he earned?
Yes.
Oh, wow, that's good. Well,
they raised that much money, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's so that was very good in that day and age. Yes.
Yeah, that is. That's very good money.
Okay, and then it went on. Wepner had a month's notice for Andre the Giant. Since he was in shape anyway and in the gym all the time, it was an easy yes. Of course, it was show business, so nobody was going to get seriously hurt, he said, unless there was a mistake. They wanted Andre in the fourth round to body slam me to win the fight. I said, are you out of your mind? He's 525 pounds. We weighed in with Brent Musburger from CBS. They had to bring in a meat scale to weigh in. I was 228 He was 525. We took some pictures. He had a hand 2.5 the times the size of mine. He was just a huge man. The atmosphere at Shea Stadium was tremendous as both men made their way to the ring situated in the center of the baseball diamond. Most estimates pegged attendance for the second WWF-promoted showdown at Shea at over 32,000. Wettner said it seemed like half that to him. It was still a big crowd, and fans were getting two attractions for the price of one, featuring Andre the Giant, the most popular wrestler in the world, and also Muhammad Ali, the greatest fighter in the world. My question is, did you ever have a chance to meet Andre the Giant?
No, I never got a chance to meet him.
Oh, okay. How do you think you would have done if you would have been substituted in Wettner's place and you wrestled at Shea Stadium?
I'd have counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 before I got to the ring and said goodbye.
Oh, okay. What if you had wrestled a bear that was 8 foot tall and 1,250 pounds? Would you have had the presence of mind to hit it in the nose like Wettner did?
No, probably not. Probably not at all.
Oh, okay. Well, all right.
I probably wouldn't even thought about that.
What if the bear had a GPS collar on him?
Well, he was in the ring. I wouldn't have needed a GPS collar.
good point. Okay, good point. All right, well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy.
All right.
Thank you, QT. Well, Austin, last week you mentioned that you have no plans to actively take part inside the ring during the shows. You're going to run things backstage and produce the show from that vantage point. If there was a need at some point in time, do you foresee at any point you will actively take part in matches during the course of your promotion?
Sorry about that. No, to be honest with you, I mean, I really just don't see a need of it. I got to thinking about, and he brought up the WWF and Vince McMahon Sr., QT did, and I got to thinking about him and, you know, different promoters that were very successful in promoting and yet never got in the ring, never had to be a part of the storyline or anything else you know, they just ran it from the back and knew what they wanted and knew what they felt like the fans were asking for and literally gave it to them. I mean, I think back to Jim Crockett Promotions and stuff like that. I mean, look at the time that he ran. He made so much money off of Ric Flair, you know, Magnum TA, you know, Iron and Ole Anderson, you know, Wahoo McDaniels and all those back in the day. And all he had to do was sit back and run the promotion. He didn't have to go out there and put himself out there to run the promotion. Nothing against anybody that does, don't get me wrong. If that's what they want to do, that's fine. But I don't have time to worry about their match, my match, and everything else. I want to make sure that the crowd is getting what they want. And if they have a question, I'm not too tied up on getting myself ready for a match and ignoring their question.
Now, one of the places you did venture to in your active career was the USWA. You were down there for them at different points. They were along for a very long time, and several promotions in your region kind of based themselves either directly or indirectly on what the USWA had done. Is there any influence on that, on what you're going to try to do once you do launch?
No, I mean, I got a lot of great suggestions, you know, or ideals when I was down there. So being around for a little while, we were around Hustler Rip Rogers and listening to him talk and things of that nature. I've learned a lot of things to do and learned a lot of things not to do. I just, you know, some guy that I think it takes away. There's enough young guys out there today that and up-and-coming stars that, you know, fans love to watch, love to see, and, you know, it's time for them to take their stage. It's time for them to step up. It's time for them to be recognized. It's time for them to be seen, and it's time for guys of my age, or I'm not saying my age, I should say in my era, is, you know, to help bring them along, to bring them to where they need to be. That's the way I feel about it. Some people don't agree with me, and that's their prerogative. You know, I don't want to be a 60-year-old broken-down wrestler trying to get in there and wrestle. And, you know, I just don't think it's the right message to send.
You talk about the young wrestlers. There's a lot of good places to go to get trained to wrestle, a lot of good schools out there. But if people were to come to you looking for spots in your new promotion, what would be some of the schools out there that would most catch your attention of guys having gone to get their training?
Well, definitely Rip Rogers is probably one of the best trainers. You know, he's probably one of the toughest trainers out there for the dollars and cents. Plus, he's not going to teach you wrong. He's going to teach you correctly. He's going to teach you the psychology of the business. He's going to teach you the reasons why certain things go together. He's going to teach you, he's going to teach you every aspect of the business. And there's a lot of wrestling promoters out there that have schools that, you know, they're just interested in getting your $2,000, $3,000 and, you know, saying, okay, you're trained. And, I mean, I've seen too many of them. I mean, I seen not too long ago a kid tell me he trained for maybe a year, and kid didn't know anything, you know, and it cost him $3,000. And I literally told him to go and get his money back because he wasn't trained properly.
One of the more famous schools in Indiana, of course, the School of Rock, Billy Rock's former wrestling school. Are you familiar
Absolutely.
With a lot of those students?
Yeah, I know Billy Rock. He's really, really a solid guy. I don't know his look on wrestling or how he trains. I've never been around him, but he's I mean, it's really – Billy Rock is an awesome guy. And, yeah, I mean, that's what – there's and that's based out of Lafayette, Indiana. So if they can get to Billy Rock school and have Billy Rock train them, that would be – Billy Rock's a good guy.
One of the aspects of pro wrestling you're extremely familiar with, of course, is tag team wrestling. What kind of focus are you going to give to tag team wrestling once you get things up and running?
Oh, definitely want to have a good tag team division. Obviously, I'm a product of tag team. Coming into the business was a tag team. Leaving the business was doing the tag team. I've done some individual, held some, you know, tag. At one time, Superstar TJ Powers and myself we held 7 different tag team championships at one time throughout Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, Illinois. So, I mean, we were the tag team champions for 7 different organizations. So my focus on that is definitely putting a tag team division together that's going to bring excitement to the fans, to showcase each and every one of their abilities. I'll definitely be focused on tag teams and having a good tag team division.
Well, I believe QT has a couple questions he forgot to ask. I'm going to give things back over to QT for a bit.
Okay.
Hey, Austin, I forgot to ask you, are you certified in first aid or have you taken CPR classes in case some of your wrestlers get injured?
No, but I do have 2 people that is going to be with me that are able to do that. One of them is my daughter, and the other one is my wife.
Are you legally responsible for having someone trained in first aid be present at the wrestling matches? Because it used to be out here in Washington State that you had to have an ambulance.
Yeah, no, we don't have to have that in Indiana at all. We don't have an athletic commission or anything like that. Now, I know in Kentucky you have to have a licensed medical, like a paramedic, an EMT or somebody. I think Illinois is that away still. They may have went away from it. I know they were trying to go away from it. But in Indiana, we don't have an athletic commission, so we don't have to have anybody standing by.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Austin, we had a very good interview with B. Brian Blair. It's one of my top 5 interviews on Turnbuckle Turmoil of all time. Have you ever had a chance to meet one of the Killer Bees, B. Brian Blair?
No, never had the chance to meet him at all. I know he's a very talented person, a very educated person.
Yes, and his tag partner, Jim Brunzell, I heard rumors that he was an All-American in the high jump.
Yeah, they used to call him Jumping Jim, didn't they?
Yeah.
Jim Brunzell? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's how he got his name.
It is, yes. But I don't think he has leaped that. There's a kid out here in Montana, close to Washington State. He's a freshman in high school. He's already gone 7 foot in the high jump.
Oh, wow.
He's only a freshman. Yes.
That's high.
And that brings up the question, did you have a sports background in high school?
Football.
Yeah, oh, okay. I think I weren't you a defensive end?
Yes, I was.
Ah! See, now I remember. I amnesia from my steel chair shots haven't kicked in yet.
Yeah, I played. High school football in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Fort Smith Southside. We were the Rebels, and we won the state championship in 1983, and so we had a wonderful team, so it was awesome.
Now, did you ever get scholarship offers from the University of Arkansas, the Razorbacks?
No, I never did.
Oh, okay. Now, who is your – now, I think I remember in our interview that you admired Houston Oiler quarterback Dan Pastorini and his flak jacket that he used to wear?
I knew about it. I mean, he was – back then, you're talking,
I think it was 77.
77, 78, yeah. I mean, I was a Cowboy fan. Roger Staubach. I mean, that was – you know, being from that area, that, I mean, that's the team you rooted for, was the Cowboys, and then for being that young. And then when Seattle came into the league, man, I just love their colors, love Jim Zorn, Steve Largen. I mean, just fell in love with the team and became a Seahawks fan from that day forward and never changed my team.
Well, it seemed like the Steelers and the Oilers back then had an especially heated rivalry, Steelers and Oilers.
Yeah, well, you were talking the AFC. I mean, that was the two teams. I mean, Bob Phillips had it going, you know, he and the Steelers. I mean, Chuck Noll had the Steelers at the top of their totem pole, and everybody was wanting to knock the Steelers down. I mean, what you can't expect nothing but. I mean, I think everybody the Steelers played back in that day pretty much ended up being a rivalry. Everybody hated, I mean, unless you were from that area, everybody hated the Steelers, especially over in the Midwest.
Yes, like the Bears. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, and then out of the, you know, then out of the NFC, I mean, what did you have? You had the Cowboys. I mean, they were pretty much the dominant team in the NFC. And then you had San Francisco later, but back in the 70s, you know, it was pretty much the Cowboys.
Yeah, the Eagles weren't doing too much.
Right. Redskins, you know, they were doing okay, but, I mean, theirs was more in the 80s. Under Joe Gibbs.
Now, a couple of years before you were in college football, you had Earl Campbell with the University of Texas, and there were rumors that during one practice with the Texas Longhorns, Earl ran out of bounds and ran into Beeville, the Longhorn steer, and he knocked the Beeville back about a foot, and this steer weighed as much as that bear that wrestled Chuck Wepner. My question is, do you think Earl Campbell would have been a good professional wrestler?
Yeah, I mean, he was a big guy, but yeah, I mean, I think he'd be all right.
Now, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I couldn't see any reason why he wouldn't be.
Yes. You know, he had those 32-inch thighs, you know, that people just kind of bounced off of. I think his leg lock would have been worse than Ric Flair's or more dominant.
Or his backbreaker, because, yeah. I mean, so.
Now, Austin, there's a video out there that I would like you to check out. It's called Earl Campbell Meets Jack Tatum at the Goal Line. Will you do that?
Yeah, I'll look at that.
It's a ferocious collision, yes.
Is it as good as Bo Jackson and Brian Bosworth?
Oh, I think it's more infamous than that even.
Oh, wow.
I'll
have to look at that.
Oh, okay. All right. Keep in mind that Jack Tatum topped out at about 200 pounds even. So keep that in mind when you watch a video.
I will.
Okay. All right, back to you, Sungai.
Thank you, QT. Now, Austin, QT talked about the safety factor and having people trained in first aid at shows. I know you've been on shows where there have been a few horrific injuries in your day. What would you say has been the scariest injury that you've seen on a show?
On a show?
Yeah.
There's a couple of them. A young man that fell off the back of the ring and broke his back. I was there for that. It took a while for him to get him out of getting to the hospital. And the other one, I believe you were involved with it, brother. That was pretty scary. With your eye.
I may have dented the floor, yes.
I think you might have dented the floor. I think they were sending you a bill, and I don't know if you got that bill yet or not.
Never got a bill, but I did see the literal dent in the floor of my face hit.
Yeah, that was probably one of the... I thought you actually broke your face, dude.
I actually did.
Yeah, you broke the socket, right?
Broke the socket, multiple skull fractures, and concussion, contusion, and subdermal hematoma.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I was not inside of a ring for 6 days after that. That's how serious it was.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. I know that it was pretty bad. The pictures I seen, and then talking with the promoter and everything else, it was pretty bad.
To be fair, I did try to make it back for the main event, but I was outvoted.
Yeah. Okay, Blake. Yeah, I think that was probably the smartest decision, is not to come back.
In retrospect, I think you're right. Now, we discussed a little bit ago about the training aspect and what you're looking for as far as getting talent and the training schools you'd be interested in seeing pass through your door. Have there been any thoughts or discussions about opening a school in association with the promotion to be sort of a feeder for your own company?
Sure. I talked about it. If I could find the right place, the right building, and then I'd be willing to do that. I just got to find the right building, the right place to be able to do so. So I'm still looking, haven't gave up, but yes, I'm definitely interested in doing it myself. I've got several good guys that will help train. One of them was trained by Rip Rogers, the Hustler, PT Rip Rogers. So, I mean, we would have some good people that would help train and things of that nature.
Now, have you ever personally trained anyone at this point to be a wrestler?
Several different people I have trained or had a hand in training. Enjoyed doing it, and they have had really successful or really good careers so far. Both of them are still wrestling today. They're great guys and everything. So, you know one of them. Actually, you may know both of them, Sean Cook and Guy Lombardo.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Me and another guy literally trained them both.
And did a very good job at it.
Well, thank you very much. There's probably more the other guy than me. I'm not going to take all the credit, but no. We worked hard, and they got it, and they understood it. And so they are very talented and very good guys.
One of the things that has been, I guess, on a beginning level of happening here in wrestling is some guys are trying to get some sort of system in place where guys from different areas are able to travel around to different parts of the country to wrestle, not just be stuck in their own little backyard due to logistics of where they live and so forth. There's a lot of wrestling just here in the Northwest region, Alaska, Montana, Wyoming, Idaho getting very good right now, but they don't have a lot of places to wrestle. Are you
right.
aware of anything that's happening in any of the more isolated areas, looking at some of the better talent and maybe giving them a platform to travel to try to get that experience and to get out there?
I know there's a I know there's a couple promotions that are kind of working together, or a couple guys that are getting to go to a couple different promotions. One young man, and well, it's actually more than one. It's probably three or four young men are getting to travel the coastal area of Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, and then you know, they've got some that is going up to Cleveland and working, and some of the guys from Cleveland are coming down and in different places. So, I mean, I know of it. Haven't seen a lot of it, but I know of it.
Are there any areas in the country that you do sort of pay attention to keep abreast of what's going on, maybe as far as trends in wrestling or how different places are drawing, that type of thing?
I've been watching different ones all throughout, trying to look to see what they're offering. Again, I don't know. I watch, I told you I've had the flu and it's been kicking me. But anyway, I've been watching crowd reactions to certain matches and certain things, to certain people and things of that nature. So it's been one of those things to watch throughout different organizations.
Well, we're down to the last few minutes of the show, so I want to give time to you. If there's anything you'd like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you've got, the floor is all yours.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate it. Again, we're so sorry about the situation that happened with the building. It was beyond our control. Two owners got into it, so kind of left us out in the cold. We are looking diligently and trying to find a place that we can rent to continue to hold the show. We're probably going to have to postpone it for a couple of weeks or so, just that way we can get it out there to all the fans and get the tickets done again and everything. But pay attention to our Facebook page. It's under AJPROMOS2017@yahoo.com. Check it out. We're going to be updating that. And also you can check us out on Facebook or Twitter at the same address. Again, that's AJ Promotions or Promos. That's PROMOS2017@yahoo.com. And we'll keep you updated as quick as and get you updated as quick as possible and keep you updated as much as possible. But man, thanks Sign Guy for letting us to come on. I enjoy it every time we get to come on with you. QT, great questions. A lot of history that you gave. You guys are doing a bang up knockout job out there out in the West.
Well, thank you for answering our hard questions.
Some of them are tricky.
All right. Well, brother, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I appreciate it every time. Best of luck. I'm sure whenever you do get up and running, it's going to be a big, big success. Fans, keep apprised of what's going on with AJ Promotions there on the Big Book of Faces. Don't miss the first show. And we will be back with you Sunday afternoon. Leon Knight going to be joining us for the first time. So check it out Sunday. We'll talk to you then.
See ya.
Ah!